A reading from the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They had received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures every day to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica heard that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
If you're following along in the book of Acts, which tends to be read here every Monday morning, you realize that Paul has had kind of a miserable life. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus promised him. He said, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my namesake, which is exactly the opposite of what most of us think a blessing is. A blessing is something that God gives you, and the word suffering in there isn't part of what we think of as blessing. As a matter of fact, how many times have you said, I thank you, Lord, for permitting me to suffer so much for your namesake? That's not the kind of thing we do. In fact, we somehow or another begin to believe that if we're suffering, it's an indication that we've done something wrong, that God is against us, that bad things are happening, instead of the fact that we live in a dying world. And this dying world is going to be a place where suffering is a part of our lives, where we're going to have to deal with things that we don't want to deal with because the world is dying and Jesus didn't promise that he was going to fix the world. He promised that he was going to save us and bring us out of the world into himself. That's where we've got to fix our eyes. That's where we've got to fix our sights. And that's what we've got to know. And that's what Paul knew as he fled from Thessalonica and ended up in the hands of the Lord in Berea, where he met many noble and good people. There in the synagogue, which is a terrible place to go if you want to keep under the radar and hide from those who are persecuting you, there in Berea, he started proclaiming the word of God. And what did they do? They opened their Bibles and they checked to see if what he was saying was right. That was wonderful, except for the fact that it was also not wonderful. It was wonderful, except for the fact that, you know what it's like to have somebody check every single thing you do? My first call. We had so many first-year guys out of seminary for many years serving that congregation that as I started worship with them, I noticed they did some quirky things. One of the quirky things that they did was when I said the words of institution, even though there was nothing about that printed in the bulletin, they would say the words of institution along with me. Kind of threw me off at first, honestly. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the night in which he was betrayed. Our Lord Jesus. And they were always half a second behind, or there was that person who was the half a second in front. And you know, for a new guy, this is really tough because you're first of all doing something which is incredibly important, and you don't want to mess it up, and then you're getting this echo and you're kind of following and you don't know what's going on. And I remember after about a month of this, I said to one of our elders, why do people do that? This is a terrible thing to do to a new young pastor They said, well, they're pretty sure you're going to mess up the words, so they want to make sure that you say it along with them and get it right. Oh. I said, is it me? He said, no, it's just we've had so many new pastors here. We know what they do. I said, oh. And I said, you know what? You really don't have to do this. And in the announcements, I told the people, you really don't have to do this. And you know what I did that Sunday? I said, this is my body, twice. I never said this is my blood until somebody stood up and said, blood? It's really important that what we get is from the Lord. Because nobody here can give us anything that will last. Nobody here will give us anything that can truly forgive unless they're giving it from Him. Unless they're the ones who unpack the bag of gifts, the truck the Lord backs up to our door every Sunday, and every time we gather two or three in His name, He unloads His gifts, and they have to be His gifts because our gifts don't really change anything. They certainly can't grant eternity. They can't give eternal life. They can't even give temporary happiness. You see what's going on with the Thessalonians? They can't even win in earthly ways. You may remember Paul had trouble with the Thessalonians. They're rioting. They want him dead. And he goes off to another town, and it's not good enough that they drove him out. But even after they drove him out, they've got to chase him around the countryside trying to do despicable and terrible things to him. We see some of that in our life today as people just can't be satisfied with winning political battles or other battles. They think that they've got to chase people down to the point of annihilation, to where a difference of opinion becomes a matter over which you want somebody fired, or you want their life destroyed, or you want them to lose their job, or whatever else. And it's because that's the kingdom they serve and they love. And every time the church comes around, it's a threat to that kingdom. Every time the word of God is spoken, it's a threat to that temporary kingdom which will pass away. We look so often for some sort of happiness or peace or power here that will allow us to have happiness or peace or embrace the things that are going on in the world around us. And the Lord doesn't tend to let us have those in the number that other people do. Even in the Psalms, it cries out, why are the wicked prospering? You know why the wicked are prospering? Because the good don't love the things that they do. They're willing to sell their souls to prosper in this world. They're willing to do anything, no matter how diabolical and despicable, to prosper in this world. Not the children of God. Not St. Paul. He had been one of them. He is no longer. Because Christ has touched him. The Word of God has come to him. He's been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And it's transformed him. His lips have tasted the body and blood of Christ, and it's forgiven, renewed, and changed him. He belongs to, fights for a different kingdom. And it's never a victory for Paul. No matter what the cause, when the body, the person, is lost. See, we do that now too. It's not a victory simply to be right. It's not a victory simply to defeat our enemies. We're to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Why? Because they too are children of our Heavenly Father. The same blood that saved us saved them, or should, or we pray will. And this life is going to be hard on them. And they won't get out alive. But we know the answer. We have the words of peace. Why does St. Paul go to the synagogue and then start preaching? Because there are dying people there who are loved by his Father in heaven, by his brother and Redeemer who sent him on this mission. We have those too. There are absolutely days when I would love to take all of the gifts the Lord has given me and put them in the employ of trying to make as much money as I can and get as much pleasure out of the world as I can. But you know what? That always ends in death. That's why I hate reading obituaries anymore. It isn't just that now the names of my friends and family tend to be in there much more than they ever were before. It's the things that people put in there. She would sew and make quilts. A lovely thing to say, but how about the fact that she had served her Lord day and night in his house? The family seems to lose that. He loved to fish. What about the fact that he was an elder in his church? Those are real examples from my recent past, by the way. But there's a different kingdom. One that the world doesn't know. And don't be chagrined that they don't understand you. That they fight for something different and they seem to oppose you, or things don't seem to go the way that we want them to, and we don't seem to be jumping from victory to victory, because our victory has already been assured, our victory has already been won, and we live in a kingdom which will last forever, not in a perishing world that's going to die no matter what we do to try to save it. Because we're here for the family. The ones redeemed by our brother. We're here to bring forth the only hope that they've got, the only message by which they can be saved, the only truth that transcends time and eternity. Search the Word of God and see if what I said is true. Do it daily. Do it every day with the preacher here. Might be kind of cool sometime. Somebody's preaching. Somebody stood up and said, "Hey, you got that wrong." Unless, of course, it's me. And don't do that. Tell me afterwards, kindly and charitably. This word is our only hope. This message is the world's only hope. In Jesus' name, amen.